And we're going to take ever how long it takes. I don't know that we're going to do verse by verse, but I want to cover some things that I feel like are very, very important. And one of the reasons that I picked the book of John, of the Gospels, the Gospel of John was written to Christians specifically. Matthew was written to the Jew, and I mean it's all written to everybody, but the target audience for Matthew was the Jew because they quoted the Old Testament that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Well, you know, a Greek would care less what Isaiah had to say, or a Roman would care less what Isaiah had to say. Then Mark was written to the Roman because it was written in military terms. There's a lot of military terms in there. Then Luke was written to the Greek because it pictures the perfect humanity of Jesus. And the book of John is the newest of the synoptic gospels, and it was written to the Christian. And there was a lot of things going on in the early church when John was writing. And some of the things that kind of he deals with. One of the big heresies that came against the early church was something called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism had to do with almost special knowledge. And we could say that, like somebody says that, I am privy to special knowledge that only I have. And they had knowledge that was outside the Bible. And that was they kind of worship knowledge. And so that's called Gnosticism. And there was all kinds of weird things that began to happen. See, notice this, that when we get away from the Bible, people get weird real fast. They either get so lax that nothing matters, they get legalistic and they want to judge everybody, or they get crazy. Why that is, I don't know. So one of the things that I want us as a church to do and to strive for is to stay with the Bible. Stay with the Bible. Stay with what the Bible teaches. And tonight, We're going to begin looking at the first five verses of the book of John. And I really think that these first five verses are very, very important to our understanding as Christians. Now let me read it to you and we'll come back and talk about it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now there is a boatload of stuff in these first verses that we're going to look at. And some of the things that are being taught, and one of the things that I want you as a believer to be able to do is to defend your faith. Did you know it's possible to believe the right thing and not know why you believe it? And you're not able to defend it? You're not able to give a good answer for it? And I think that probably hits the majority of American Christians. They go to church, they rely on what the pastor says, so they trust a pastor or they trust a certain preacher, and they start listening to that preacher and they just believe what he says, but yet they can't go to their own Bibles and defend their faith. And then when they hear somebody say something, and there are cults out there, there's plenty of cults out there today. And I'm not for preaching against other churches and all of those kind of things, but there are some very what we call cults, and then there are some cultic teachings within Orthodox Christianity. And we need to be able, when we hear these things, to recognize them so that we don't fall prey to some of these things. Now, one of the things that I heard this last week that I hadn't thought about in a while And I heard that this particular group teaches that Jesus was created by God. And, you know, to some people, that may not be a big deal. But let me tell you something. It is a big deal. It really is a big deal. And so was Jesus created by God? See, there are certain kinds of theologies out there. And let me give you a couple of them. There is pantheism. What is pantheism? That's many gods. You ever heard Greek mythology? It's based on pantheism. The American Indians, they believed in the God of the sun and the God of the water and the God of the sea. And they were pantheists. They believed in many gods. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? There's a lot wrong with it. Number one, it's not what the Bible teaches, okay? It's not consistent with the Old Testament. It's not consistent with the New Testament. And if we're going to be Christian, see, here's what disturbs me a whole lot. A whole lot. And maybe all of us have got a smidgen of this, but we kind of have made Christianity in America like designer Christianity. You know what I mean? We pick and choose and design our own brand of Christianity. And we say, well, I believe that God loves us, but I don't believe that God would send anybody to hell. I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell. I believe that Jesus was a good person, but I don't believe he was raised from the dead. And so we kind of do Christianity as a smorgasbord, and we kind of piece together and have our own brand of designer Christianity. And when we do that, do you know what we do? We depart from the faith. We depart from the faith. So it's very important to us as New Testament Christians who have a desire to really be Orthodox Christians. And you can be, listen, you can be Orthodox Christian and be a Baptist. You can be a Methodist. You can be a Pentecostal. You can be a Nazarene. I mean, Orthodox Christianity is not one denomination at all. And I'm not preaching denominationalism at all. And there's even room for disagreement on some things in Christianity and still be Christian. Like pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Those are not heaven and hell issues. How about sprinkling, immersing, or pouring? Those are not heaven and hell issues. Tongues or no tongues? Those are not heaven and hell issues. We can still be Orthodox and still disagree on certain things. But there are some things that are vital to our faith, that if we get away from these teachings, that we really cease to be Christian in our faith. Okay? We cease to be Christian in our faith. And I think this book of John kind of lays a foundation for how we need to look at things. And so as we get into this, this is my approach. We're going to look at certain things here and talk about these. Let's begin with verse 1. In the beginning. Okay. Hey, let me make a suggestion. If you want to do this, this would be fine. We're not going to open it up tonight. But if there are questions that you have about the book of John and about what we're studying, send me a text, 307-2604, 307-2604, and I'll try to answer that. 307-2604. You can write me an email, bcc@believerscommunity.org. You can write it down and hand it to me if you're computer illiterate completely and cell phone illiterate. If you don't have an iPhone, a cool phone, you know. So if you have questions, write them down and we can deal with some things about what we're studying. Don't ask me end times, because that's not what this is. This is the foundation for what we want to talk about. So the thing is that what we're going to do tonight is it's going to talk about in the beginning. And this is very important, because this perfectly overlays with Genesis 1. John 1 and Genesis 1 are parallel. Now, when it says in the beginning, what is it talking about? Is it talking about, number one, the beginning of God? Number two, is it talking about the beginning of Jesus? Or is it talking about the beginning of time? Is it talking about the beginning of eternity? Let me answer that last one. What is eternity? It's forever, isn't it? Now, which way is it forever? Past, present, or past and present? It's both. Now, we do not grasp eternity in our thinking, because we think that there has to be a beginning of eternity. And we think that there has to be a beginning for God. Now, camp's going to be good this year, because it's 20 questions. And I saw one of the questions. Where did God come from? That's a good question. The only problem is, that's a hard answer. I drove the kids, the boys, to church camp Monday morning. And I kind of listened to some of the conversation, and it got squirrely. So the guy sitting next to me, Richard, one of our young men, I said, "Hey, Richard, let me ask you some questions." He said, "Oh, okay, okay." And I love doing this, because I could get it away from the squirrely. You know how teenage boys, golly, they're goofy. They talk goofy. I guess I wasn't in the girls' van. But the guys, I mean, they talk about goofy stuff. I says, "Okay, I want to ask you some theological questions, okay?" "Oh, yeah." He's going to be the man. I says, "Explain the Trinity to me." "Oh, yeah." He started explaining, so I just started asking him questions. You know, the Trinity is not easy to explain. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's not easy to explain. So he would say all these things. I said, "But what about this?" "Oh, well, that's it." "Well, what about this?" "And but what about this?" And I had him confused completely before it was over with. But that kind of illustrates a point. We say we believe in something, but can we prove it? Can we prove it with Scripture? And that's some things are not easy to prove with Scripture. Okay. And one of those things is eternity. Another one is the Trinity. You know, there are several things that is very difficult. I mean, where did God come from? How could He always have been? Not having a beginning, not having a creator, and never having an end. We live in a universe that expands at the speed of light, and God is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere equally at the same time. And He's already perfect, so He's not growing. But His universe is expanding at the speed of light. Will there ever come a time that the universe will become bigger than God? Because it goes on forever and ever and ever. I mean, you know, there's some things that are just hard to explain. There's some things that we do not have explanations for. And that's why we call it, Wes, we call it faith. We call it faith. It's not logic, it's faith. And eternity is one of those things that's very difficult for us to understand. So when it says in the beginning, it's not talking about eternity. Eternity is something that goes that way and that way. No beginning, no end. And He calls Himself the God who inhabits eternity. I mean, and that just blows our mind. So when He says in the beginning, He was not talking about the beginning of eternity. Was He talking about the beginning of himself. Okay, if there's an eternity and there's a God, there's no beginning. And there's a God, but there's no beginning. How do we get a hold of that? Has God always existed? Yes. How do we explain that? We can't. I mean, the Bible says that. Okay. But so he's not talking about eternity. He's not talking about himself. Is he talking about Jesus? Because there is a very prominent cult that teaches that the Father God created Jesus. Okay, if that is true, now we talked about pantheism, then there is, what's the other one? The one that God is creation. Is that pantheism? That's pantheism. What was the other one I said a while ago? Polytheism is the one that there's many gods. Pantheism means that the trees are God and the ground is God and the sky is God, because it's just an extension of Him, that God is nature. You know, when we say Mother Nature, and they're talking, a lot of times people are thinking that they worship nature, they're worshiping God. That's pantheism. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God created the earth. So if that is true and God is pantheism, then God created himself. See, that's not even logical, is it? Then we have polytheism, which is many gods. And that's what this group that says that the Father made Jesus and Jesus is God and God is God. So we have this great God and then we have this lesser God. So what do we have? We have polytheism. Then there is theism, which is one God. Now, I want to read some scripture. What did it do? There we go. I want to go to... I've got a lot of notes here, so give me a sec. Okay, go, if you got your Bibles, we got the lights on, so you should be able to see your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24. This is Old Testament, okay? Now, we believe as Christians that we are connected to the Old Testament. The Old Testament is not a Christian book. The New Testament is the Christian book. The Old Testament is the revelation to the Jews. Now, it's a revelation to us too, but there was a time that they had the Old Testament that they didn't have the New Testament, okay? We got the old and the new, and we embrace both. The Jews do not embrace the new. They embrace the old. We embrace both. We believe that we are tied to Judaism and the same God. And there's a whole nother debate about that, but we'll not get into that. But if our roots is in Judaism, listen to this. Isaiah 44, 24. Thus saith the Lord God, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord, Jehovah, or Yahweh, that maketh all things. Does that go back to Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God created man, okay? I'm the God that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Chapter 45 and verse 5 and 6, it says this, I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Isaiah 45, verse 21. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from the ancient time? who has told it from that time, have not I the Lord? There is no other God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am the Lord, and there is no other. Isaiah 46 and 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Now, does that sound anything like that God created another God? So, when people say that God created Jesus, and one of the things that we believe about God, that He is the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-sufficient, He is complete, He is perfect, and if He created a lesser God, then He's probably not all of those things. And besides that, He says there is no other God beside me. Okay? So could God have created Jesus? And the answer is no. First of all, if He did, then there's two gods. That's polytheism. The Old Testament says that Jehovah is one. That's monotheism. Okay? That means one God. The Old Testament God is one God. The Old Testament believes in monotheism. That's what it preaches. You say, well, what about the Trinity? Ah, that's a good question. And in Genesis, and in John 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, 4, and 5, we'll cover some of this, okay? And we're going to talk about this. But now, here is the one translation says this, and it's a wrong translation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Was a God. Is there something wrong with that? If there is a God, that sounds like that there might be more than one God. He was a God. Maybe a lesser God. And that's what they teach, that God created Jesus, and they believe He's God, but He's not quite the same as Jehovah. He's not on the same level as Jehovah. Okay. Have I got everybody completely confused? We're gonna look at this. We're gonna dig into some of these things, and I want you to get a concept of what the Bible really teaches about this, because I had a phone call the other day from a guy that has come to this church. He don't come much. He comes some, and then he quits, and then he comes, and then he quits. And this group began to talk to him, and he's studying with them now. And he's wanting to talk to me about what he's studying with them. And I'm thinking, why are you listening to them? Because he knows that some of the things that they're teaching is not right, but there's some of the things that's intrigued him a little bit. Ah. Did you? And let me say this as a sidebar, that there are people that cults do not preach total error. They preach partial truth. But the error that they do preach is dangerous. It's kind of like this. Let's say that from right here, we draw a straight line, perfectly straight line, and it runs all the way till it comes back and meets this one. Okay? All the way around the world, meets this one. This other line we're going to draw is almost a straight line, but it's 5 degrees off. Well, at right here, you can't tell it that it's much off. But what happens when that you run that line straight? Now, if you're surveying, you can see what a 5 degree angle off. Let's say that a mile down the road, Martin, I wonder how far that would be off. 5 degrees. A long way. If you run it around the world, I wonder how far you would be off. Just 5 degrees. I mean, it's everything else is just right. It's only a 5 degree difference. See, that's what error does. It starts out and it's just a shade off. But the further it extends and the more that it unveils itself, the further it gets from truth. Okay? There's a group that preaches that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers. Let's try that one on. And Jesus was the one that stayed and Lucifer was the one that left. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, we can't prove it, can we? Okay, think about this. What was Lucifer? Angel. If Jesus and Lucifer were brothers, then Jesus was a what? Angel. Was Jesus an angel? No, he's God. See how squirrely that gets? And, you know, oh, they read that in one of the lost books of the Bible. Don't read the lost books of the Bible. Especially if you're a new believer. I mean, I've read some of it. Don't do that. Now, let me tell you why. You don't know enough of the Bible to be reading the lost books of the Bible. You hadn't studied your Bible enough to be able to do that. Okay. Where'd I get to? Okay, I want to read this to you from the New Living Translation. Let me read you a couple of translations. We got to quit here in a minute. We got to In the Beginning. That's where we got tonight. Okay, that's what we talked about. In the beginning was the Word. I told you this is going to take a while to get through this. Here's the New Living Translation. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Interesting. See? In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought life to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So when we parallel that with Genesis 1, do we not see in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth? Elohim means what? It literally means gods. So what's it talking about if there's only one God? It's talking about the concept of who the Lord, who is one God, is. One God manifest three ways. What we call the Trinity. Now, can we explain the Trinity? Not very well. Is the word Trinity in the Bible? No. There's a group that does not believe in the Trinity. Have you ever run into those? And they say, unless you are baptized in Jesus' name only, you're not saved. Because it says in Acts that you have to be baptized in Jesus' name. Okay? And they say that there is no Trinity. Then I'm thinking that when Jesus was on the earth, and if Jesus is the Father, or if the Father is Jesus and the Holy Spirit is Jesus and it's all Jesus, and that's what they believe, that it's all Jesus, then who was Jesus praying to? Was he praying to himself? At his baptism, remember when he was baptized and the Bible says that the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." There was Jesus on the earth. There's a voice that spoke from heaven. And then the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. Do we not have a Father, Son, and Spirit in one place? All three manifested in one place. So Jesus was throwing his voice as he comes up out of the water, and Jesus was projecting himself as a dove to descend on himself, to anoint himself, to do the work of the ministry? When Jesus died on the cross, he said to the Father, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." Was he committing his own spirit to himself? And if Jesus died and was subjected to death for 3 days and three nights, did he raise himself from the dead? See, we need to be able to defend what we believe. You say, well, does it really matter? Yes. It really matters what you believe. Well, I'll tell you what I believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. What it matters is what the Bible teaches. And I think we have to be diligent. And I'm not a Bible scholar by any stretch of the imagination. But I think there are certain things that are paramount to our faith for it to be grounded in truth. Because one of the things in the last days, many will depart from the faith being deceived. And we see that happen a whole lot. So there are little things that we need to understand about who is the Father, who is the Son, who is the Holy Spirit. Are they one? Are they three? Can we get spun off? And here's what happens when people spin off into a little, what I call a little sideline thing, that they pick up a little pet doctrine. That's all they talk about. Okay? There's groups that all they talk about is that you've got to be baptized. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. And then there's groups that just spin off on, you have to speak in tongues to be saved. And that's all they talk about. Or you have to be baptized by this formula or you're not saved. And 75% of what they preach is that little thing that they've spun off on, and they forget about all this other truth that's out here that'll make us free. And I want us to be able to practically apply the Bible to our lives and be made free by the truth of the Word of God and not be distracted by all of these things that have come through the body of Christ. Now, I've been a Methodist. I've been Assembly of God. I've been non-denominational. I've been among the charismatics. I've been everywhere, man. Little Rock, Black Rock. I've seen it. And I have seen more crazy stuff come through the body of Christ, and people get caught up into these little things and they spin off. And here's what we get away from when we do that. We get away from the Great Commission. Go into all the world, make disciples, preach the gospel, bringing people into the kingdom. That's what we get off of. But we get this revelation. It's almost like Gnosticism. We get this revelation. We get this special revelation, this special insight. And if you turn on the TV and you hear this guy say, "I've had this special revelation. Send me $25 and I'm going to send you the teaching that God gave." Turn the channel. God's message is not hidden from us. It's revealed to us. It's hidden for us, but it's there if we'll dig it out in the Word. It's not hard. Amen. All right, let me read one more, then I'm quitting. Here's a different translation. Amplified. "In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it." That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Okay, let's quit. Now, how many of you are confused, completely confused? Everybody? Surely not. So if you got questions, write them down, get them to me, text them to me, send them to me. We'll try to cover them. But I want us to be, we call this a word church. I want us to be people of the word. And I want us to not bend the word around our opinions. I want us to bend our opinions around the word. And that's understanding who God is, what he did in Christ, and be able to keep that on the straight and narrow. Let's pray. Father, I pray for our hearts and our minds tonight. I pray that you would open us up, that we might study, that we might look into these things. And Lord God, that we might come to the truth, that we might be protectors of the truth, that we might covet and love your truth. We thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope to see you next week.